Mr. Sherlock, Reel 11. We're talking about the time in Austria, but I'd just like to ask, Worrell had been removed of his command, but he was now back in command. When did he come back? How come he'd been reappointed?
He came back for about a fortnight, I think, 3 weeks, when he was returned, I think, at the death of his predecessor, Johnny Preston, who was then G1 at the Army of Quarters.
What had been wrong with Denny? Why was he brought back?
Because Johnny Preston interceded for him, I think.
For Worrell.
No more than that. I suppose they didn't have a ready-made CEO of the battalion. But I can tell you this, the battalion weren't pleased to see him back.
They preferred Denny.
I think they'd even preferred Denny, although Denny wasn't as strong as he was, but he was a pleasant enough.
What was
and he wasn't a bad CEO, but he just wasn't a strong CEO. We'd been used to Johnny Preston, who was a first class CEO. Strong man with a lot of charisma. And we thought we ought to have somebody like that. And we were disappointed. Anyway, Worrell came back. As I say, I think I was only away a fortnight or 3 weeks at the most. And then he was
there to the end of the war. That was just wanted to clear up that point because we hadn't resolved
it. Right.
Now, one part of relationship with the local population, what about the black market in Austria? Did the unit get involved either as individuals or as a unit in it?
Well, I think we knew there was a black market in Austria. I can't say I was involved in anything concerning it. Except that we sometimes had to watch it. Nobody took the wheels off the jeep.
There wasn't much trouble with people selling the rations or stealing the rations to sell and that sort of thing.
Not so far as we were concerned. We knew it went on. But I think, to be perfectly honest, that the Americans had more problems in that direction than we had. Partly because they had a lot of rations. And I think that their soldiers were inclined to feed the black market to some extent. So we didn't have the same sort of trouble. We didn't have excess. And so, we had on what we got.
So what happened next then? You were doing these patrols, you know?
Yes, we were. These patrols were just flag-showing patrols. They're just the idea of letting them know there was an army of occupation and we didn't want anybody stepping out of line. I suppose if people had been doing something which was contrary to regulations, we would have had to do something about it, but I don't remember that we ever had that problem.
Do you remember going to Vienna? Apparently they went to Vienna.
Yes. We went up to Vienna around about December 1945. Around about then, wasn't it? And we were part of the occupation troops of the British section of Vienna. I was only there a fortnight, and then I went off on leave, and I came back home, and was there for over Christmas, I think, 1945.
Now, what about the relationship with the other forces, French, Russians, and Americans? Were you there long enough to be aware of any friction or cooperation in Vienna?
I don't think we had, as I remember, any serious relations with any of them, except that we met some of them in the officers' club. And I don't remember any problems. Sackett's was in the British section, and many British people in there. Sackett's was where the officers' club were. That's the only sort of contact that I remember with them.
Now, your leave, how did that come about? Was this...
according to your length of service and your release number, your LEAP came up, and mine came up then, and it was a fortnight, and I was sent home via Milan by air, and a fortnight home, and then went straight back to the battalion, by which time it had come back to Vilden.
Now, was there any rumblings in the battalion people wanting to be demobilised? It had been a long war,
yes.
And they'd had a lot of action in Africa and in Italy. Were people getting a bit restless? Or?
Yes, they were getting extremely restless. And indeed, there was, you know, a great deal of pushing and having to be demobbed. Lots of applications for B release, which was the release for those that were in particular occupations. We didn't seem to lose a lot, although we had quite a number of Durham miners, and they were all for B release. I wasn't.
Were you wanting to get out, or were you happy enough?
Well, I think we were quite anxious to get out then. Once the war was over, most conscript people, most what I call civilian soldiers, weren't anxious to hang on at all. Besides which, of course, the life changed considerably. It became a bit pointless. We were doing far too many things merely to stop at the timing, and it didn't seem very sensible to us. So, and of course, as far as the 16th was concerned, we knew that very early in 1946 the battalion was going to have to break up anyway. And we were not looking forward to that. That meant sort of losing our friends and so on.
Now, on the 4th of January, 11 officers were posted to the 1st Battalion, the DLI, in Greece. Were you one of them? Or?
No. Is that 4th of January?
Only according to the official history. No, it's not necessarily right.
A lot later than that. Never mind. Actually a lot later than that, about a month later than that. When the battalion broke up, whatever date it was, I was posted to the 2nd Hampshire. But prior to that, before the battalion broke up, but when we knew when it was going to be broken up, I went to the Formation College at Perugia to do a refresher accountancy course with the idea that I would be leaving the army soon. And I had it wasn't a month. Anyway, it was quite a long time. And I went to Perugia, did that. And when I came back, I went to the 2nd Hampshire, which were a regular battalion.
So you went from, you left the 16th to go on this course, and when you came back, they'd gone.
They'd gone. That's right.
What was your reception at the 2nd Hampshire's then?
Not very good.
In what way?
They didn't like the idea of a major coming in there, which was going to upset their emotional life, for one thing. And in fact, the second in command of the Hampshires was a chap called, he's a Cornishman, called Dias. He told me as soon as I came into the room that I need to get the crown off my shoulder. And in fact, for about 3 days, I put the three pits back on.
Captain.
But the colonel, Fowlerson, nice chap, came and said, rubbish, the crown off. And so I never actually lost my maturity. That's it. But it was that sort of situation in a battalion like that. However, I got on very well with the individual members of the Hampshires, they were. But it was turning to peacetime life. The colonel had his wife out already. And he would, they would have dining out at the colonel's place for two or three of us, and with a great deal of formality. Mess nights were became formal, where we had Mr. President and board going round on the left hand side of the table and on and on. And in fact, the whole of the setup became like that. I met chaps from my own hometown who had brought their wives up, things like that. Chaps who were going to stay in the army.
You never thought of staying in the army then as a regular?
No, I never really gave it a thought. Although I was pressed to stay. I was pressed, matter of fact, by the colonel, you know, to stay in the army. No, I was never interested in staying in the army. I wasn't what you might call a typical soldier, you know. I quite enjoyed certain aspects of soldiering. I quite enjoyed the war, the comradeship, and so on, in many ways. But I did not like the regimentation.
So how long did you stay with the Hampshires? They were in Austria, I presume.
Yeah, they were a very good battalion. And there were some very nice officers. The MO, for instance, and the medical officer, was a Jamaican. Right, and he'd been an Olympic athlete, actually. There were something like, I think, about 50% of the officers who were regulars when I got there. Unfortunately, got involved just toward the end of my career in a court-martial, which I was a member. Officers being rather silly in the officership, but it wasn't anything serious, but it did involve me in nearly not getting out on time.
What was it about? What have the officers done?
Well, what happened was that one night in the officers' club, two officers got and started pitching furniture to work and putting it on top of things. Then they all went off to, many of them were staying in the club at night, to bed. And certain fellows who hadn't booked in and hadn't got beds, then filed themselves into other officers' rooms and slept on the floor and simply let it. And this, the manager of the club then sent for the police, and these fellows were sort of all that. John, it turned out that I happened to be, and wasn't aware of it, the most senior officer in the club that night. So I was required to, first of all, I nearly required to take responsibility for it all. That didn't happen, but, because I was involved. I made a part in the Court Martial Law. It didn't, naturally, it never turned out this way.
So when this, the Hampshires were in Austria, weren't they?
Yes.
And when did you leave them then, roughly?
June the 6th, 1946.
So you were with them about 4 months?
That's right.
And you were just ordinarily demobilised? You know, it just came to your turn?
That's right.
And what happened when you got back? Did you...
We handed in our kit, revolvers, things like that. And got into mob suit and went home.
And were you able to go back to your former career as an accountant? I mean, did you?
Yes. In fact, I went down to Chopman College, where I'd been previously employed. Saw the secretary and he said, could you please see me back? But in fact, I realized that they couldn't give me major's pay.
So you had no trouble getting back into civilian life?
Not really. I was married, you see. I had been married in 43. And I had to accept the idea that I had a wife to support. So I couldn't afford to be too worried by what sort of job I had. I said I had a good job. In any case, I was quite happy about the type of job I did. I liked accountancy. And so I just went back and did that job. For a very short time, then I nationalisation of the coal industry came, which opened out opportunities quite considerably. In fact, I went on to audit almost immediately.
Now, had the war affected you in any way, mentally or physically? Had your wounds left any mark, or had your health been damaged? Your hearing,
yes,
for instance?
It was more broader minded, one thing. Considerably broader minded. I mean, before the war, I lived a very closeted sort of existence. In a small market town, things revolved around the things as the church, the tennis club, and at that time, singing, choir, things like that. Now I became more interested in social life. And I became, I think, I'm quite sure, that probably was more ambitious than I had been before the war. I had quite a limited view of what I might do.
And physically it hadn't affected you?
Physically, no, I think I was probably stronger physically. Altogether.
Right, thank you very much.